Good morning. It is my privilege to introduce our guest speaker, Judy Poole. She was commissioned to be a deaconess by the United Methodist Church in 1983. She is married to John. They have two grown sons. Johnny, 24, the Birmingham area representative for Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And Jay is 19 and is a freshman at UAH, correct? Okay. They are most proud of their sons because they are good Christian young men. She is appointed as the executive director of United Methodist Center for Senior Citizens located in Birmingham. We've had a container out in the lobby here and in the front of the other area of the church for collections for the McCoy Adult Daycare Center, of which she is a part of, and we appreciate your donations. And now, Judy. Oh, Michael.
I want to add my welcome to Judy. We are so pleased she is here. You know, the United Methodist Women's Organization in the Methodist Church has sort of been the spark plug for missions among Methodists for over 100 years. Methodist women meeting in small groups, raising money to send missionaries both afar and local, close to home. And women have sort of been the spark plugs for over 100 years for the church, sort of leading the way. And so today we're giving thanks for that, and I hope putting ourselves in a place to consider our call. We believe that everybody is called to serve God in some way. Everybody is a minister. Now, that may scare you a little bit. Not everybody's a pastor. You're going to get to hear Judy's story of how she is a minister. Hear what Paul wrote to the Ephesians. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And I would add some Sunday school teachers, some band members, some coffee makers, some greeters, some Habitat for Humanity workers, some chili cookers, some dishwashers, some small group leaders, some youth counselors. It goes on and on. All to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. Thanks be to God for His Word, and thanks be to God for His ministers. Judy, would you come and share with us?
Good morning. I appreciate the opportunity to come and share with y'all this morning and to just share a little bit about what's going on, and especially for United Methodist Women Sunday. United Methodist Women play an important part of my life. I also love going to different United Methodist churches. You know, even though everybody kind of does church in their own way, there are familiar pieces. So any church you go to, you feel at home within the United Methodist Church. I want to share a couple other scriptures with you. First, Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." And in the Psalm selected verses from Psalm 71. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and I still declare thy wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare thy strength to this generation and thy power to all who are to come. The Word of God. Will you pray with me? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. This morning I want to share a few minutes with you about my journey, my personal story of how I got to be where I am today. I was raised in the church. I was one of those who dad unlocked the door for the preacher and locked the door behind him. Mom was involved in Sunday school, United Methodist Women, on the altar guild. We just didn't know anything better but to go to church. But you know, it wasn't until I was in high school when we had a lay witness mission at my church in Wilmington, Delaware, that I realized that I had never formally and publicly accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Now, it wasn't a dramatic turning from a life of hard sin, but it was an acceptance of grace and forgiveness instead of depending on my works. Do you remember that day in your life? It's a special day. It's a day of joy. Well, as the time approached for me to decide about my career goals, I found myself really torn. There were a lot of things that I knew I didn't want to do, but I was having a hard time narrowing it down to what I really felt like I wanted to do. I kept praying, but I just couldn't put a handle on a direction. So I started asking myself, what do I really enjoy and what am I good at? Well, it really came down to two things. I loved people and I really loved playing church. I liked the whole church thing. So why can't I make that my career? Well, that's really how my first call came about. There were no angel voices and no bright lights. I just used the reasoning that God gave me to discern His will. Well, that wasn't the end of the story. I still had to narrow down from there. Well, you know, okay, I'm going to have a church vocation. What does that mean? Well, I started backwards again. I really didn't feel like I was being called into the pastoral ministry. And missions, as I had been taught at that time, meant going overseas. And I didn't feel like I had those gifts and graces. So I sat down with my pastor, and the best we could come up with at that time was Christian education. That sounded pretty good, so I went and trained, and that's how I actually moved to Alabama, was as the director of Christian education at First Methodist in Bessemer. Well, during that time, I grew and I learned, and it was a fruitful time. But during that time, I also discovered Camp Sumatonga and the youth camps and this organization called United Methodist Women. Now, I continued to be involved in United Methodist Women and was afforded a lot of opportunities. One thing you get with United Methodist Women is study, and you learn, and you're given leadership opportunities. I also learned to expand my concepts of mission. I learned that we had missionaries right here in our own backyard. I didn't have to go overseas to be a missionary. The other thing I discovered through study through United Methodist Women is that we have an awful lot of unmet needs right here in our own backyard. Well, I was enjoying my work in Christian education, but I was really feeling a restlessness in my spirit. I was really receiving my second call, this time into a more missional relationship with the church. Now, I wish I could have been like Isaiah and just jumped right up and said, "Here, my Lord, send me." But, you know, I'd gotten kind of comfortable where I was, and I had kind of matured, which means my brain got in the way. My heart felt the tug, but my mind just really wanted a lot of answers. I was asking questions like, where would I go? What would I do? Would I have to move? Could I survive graduate school? Do I really want to give up control of my life? Would you just send a telegram, please, Lord? I wanted all of the answers before I would make my decision. Well, what I finally discovered was a truth that has worked for me. God has a will for our lives. I am and will be the happiest when I'm in the center of that will. I know that God has called me. If I want to be happy and in God's will, I must answer yes. Well, I haven't got wrong with this formula yet. The day I finally said, "Whatever you will have me do, I will do and do willingly, Lord, even if it means I have to move," I felt a sense of freedom and a sense of relief. You've heard the saying that God wants your availability more than your ability. Well, I felt like that's what I had finally said. I'm available, Lord. You'll have to equip me. I did go back to school and got my master's in social work and was commissioned a deaconess in the United Methodist Church in 1983. Now, since there aren't many deaconesses in Alabama, you may kind of wonder, well, what is that? Well, a deaconess is a lay woman who's affirmed being called by God into full-time, lifetime service through the church, committed to Christ and dedicated to mission, committed to ministries of love, service, and justice, professionally trained, complete theological and missional studies, and commissioned by and have a relationship with the General Board of Global Ministries of the United Methodist Church. Now, in 2004, at our general conference, kind of our policy-making body, they passed legislation for the Office of Home Missioner, which is the exact same thing for lay men. So we have opportunities for women and men to serve in the area of home missions. We currently have 176 active deaconesses and home missioners and 192 that are retired. In North Alabama, we actually have 4 deaconesses right now. Also in Birmingham is Minnie Morrell, and she works with the domestic violence agency. Her husband, Jeff, is a candidate and hopefully next year will be commissioned a home missioner, so that'll make 5. And right here in the Huntsville area, we have Carol Gallott, who works in public education, and Pauline Precise, who is retired from the food stamp office. Her main focus now is the ecology and especially global warming. So if that's an interest, you've got Pauline right down the road to help. You know, Christ needs our young people and even our second career people to hear about the call today into the wide variety of church vocations that are available. When we went to our annual conference first of the month, we learned that we're going to be in a crisis real soon in the area of pastors. We are retiring more preachers than we're ordaining. So what's going to happen one day is you're going to call the bishop and say, "Send us a preacher," and he's going to say, "Don't have anybody to send. We don't have enough." But you know, we're facing that same crisis in the lay vocations, in the area of music ministry, in the area of Christian education, in the area of missions. And you know, it's not because the work is done. The field is still ripe unto harvest. We just don't have enough laborers to work the field. Our families and our churches need to get back into the business of recruiting. And to help our members hear God's still small voice. He still doesn't shout at us. He still doesn't send telegrams. He speaks in a still small voice. But there are many distractions today to keep us from hearing his still small voice. Have you ever thought that that may be your calling? To be an encourager to someone that's struggling with a call? We need to be sensitive and help them seek and to listen. You may be called to be an elbow. What's an elbow do? Kind of nudges, sometimes gently, sometimes not so gently. I have to confess, if it wasn't for our connectional system, where I had the opportunity to relate to individuals from other United Methodist churches at the local, district, and conference level, receive support, encouragement, and training, and nudges, I probably would have stayed in that comfortable job instead of hearing where God really wanted me to be at that time in my life, my mission call. Did you know that your church had a part in me becoming a missionary? Because of your support of conference youth camps, Conference United Methodist Women, I met the Bentley family. And they all kind of adopted me as a transplant from Alabama. And their nurture, And their nudges helped me to be able to step out on faith, to accept my call into mission. But you know, it's kind of a hard case, because as good as the Bentleys were, it still took a whole bunch of other folks across the conference, a whole lot of United Methodist women who gave me nudges. Well, no, they actually gave me some strong shoves into the right direction with love to prepare me for my second call of mission service. But you know, I treasure every bruise that I have from them that were given in love as God's instruments. You know, besides the nurture and training, which is an important part of United Methodist Women and our United Methodist Church, I love how we touch so many lives all over the world and all over the nation and right here in our community. Did you know that Athabascan children in the remote villages of the bush of Alaska can learn of God's love when deaconess and church and community worker Fran Lynch fly in to provide Sunday school for a whole week? You're a part of that. Your missionary, Marcia Alexander, enables people in Rio Bravo, Mexico, to see a doctor for the very first time in their lives. Praise God, what a ministry. Inmates in Virginia have the opportunity to know God and experience freedom as whole persons, even though they are incarcerated, through the work of Deaconess Pat Marks. The United Methodist Center in Mongolia, where missionary Millie Kim serves, is providing a good place for the children in Mongolia to learn what it means to be a child of God and to be loved. That's a part of your work. Deaconess Lisa Nichols runs the St. Elmo Reading Center, where children in Chattanooga are provided the needed literary skills to succeed in school. Guess who did that? Hurricane victims along the Gulf Coast had food, clothing, and hope because of those of you who are part of the United Methodist Volunteer and Mission Disaster Response Teams. Praise God, we're a part of all of this wonderful work. And that just skims the surface. There's so much more in so many ways that God is moving in a mighty way across our nation, our state, and right here in our own community through the mission work of United Methodist Women and the United Methodist Church. But we must provide more workers for the harvest. Well, I'll quit preaching to the choir and briefly tell you a little bit about what my appointment is now with the United Methodist Center for Senior Citizens. We are a conference advanced special, and that means that this agency has been evaluated, deemed worthy of your support, and is accountable for its fiscal actions and for its mission. It also means that you are a partner and that you have a part in these valuable services that this ministry provides. The scripture that I read in the Psalms is our reason for being. Do not cast me off. And our main aim and overall goal is to help the fragile and frail adults maintain their highest level of independent functioning with dignity. And we do this through three programs. In the Central Park United Methodist Church over near the fairgrounds in Birmingham, we have our Shepherd Center West. There we have Adventures in Learning, which is an educational enrichment program that for the healthy, active older adults. And our home services, which includes home visitation, transportation, and information and referral for folks in the Birmingham area. Our second program is the McCoy Adult Daycare. And this is located in the former McCoy United Methodist Church near Birmingham Southern College. We provide supervised care for those who cannot be left home alone, even for a short time, due to things like Alzheimer's, dementia, stroke, a risk of a fall. This is our strongest emphasis right now because people are struggling with the care of a loved one and are alone in this care because they don't know that there are services out there that can help them. Not only do we provide a safe, protected environment, activities, and nutrition for their loved one, but we also provide rest and relief for the caregiver. We have some brochures, and did they make it over here? There's some brochures by the sanctuary that can tell not only about the deaconess program, but also about the daycare. Our third program, and an important part of what we do, is advocacy. It's our call to be the voice of the frail and fragile adults, that they not be forgotten. God has not forgotten them, and it's our role to remind our church and our society that those who are the bridge that brought us to here today, the children of yesterday, not be forgotten. This is how this agency has chosen to respond to the cry, "Not forget me when I'm old and gray." We covet your prayers that this ministry continues to be in the center of God's will. In our newsletter, we always highlight an article about a client in an article called "Blessed by Those We Serve, Meet the Clients." In closing, let me introduce you to one of our clients. Mrs. C is a retired person who has moved back to her hometown to be near her family. She didn't enjoy eating alone and didn't always eat at mealtimes. Her doctor was very concerned about her weight loss. Since Mrs. C has been at the center, she has gained weight, and her doctor was so pleased with her improved physical condition that he asked her to spend more days at the center. Every day when Miss C leaves, she turns to say, "Everything was lovely." Whenever you come to the communion table to break bread, remember the services provided by the McCoy Adult Daycare. In your name, we share the life-giving bread as well as the bread of life to those who may have forgotten their way to the Lord's table. I thank God for the opportunity to serve in such an exciting area of ministry, and thank you for being a congregation with such a heart for ministry and the actions that you put behind it. I challenge you also to be encouragers. Sharpen up your elbows of those struggling with a call from God. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your gifts of grace and forgiveness. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you in many and varied ways, and for the mission work of this congregation. Help us to be encouragers to those that you are calling. In Jesus' name, amen.
I am grateful, Judy, for the things you do. And, you know, we're part of that. Our church is connected to other Methodist churches. And people like Judy help us do things together that we might not could do on our own. We're grateful. And I guess then the question is, where is God stirring in your life? You know, is there a still, small voice in your heart, in your spirit, that is nudging you, elbowing you, to discover your place for service? As Judy said, we won't be fully happy till we figure out where that is. It may be full-time, as Judy serves. It may be a lay person, as Judy serves. There may be some of you here who are being nudged and called into ordained ministry. Judy and I will be here following the service, and we'll be delighted to have a conversation with you about that now or later to discern where is it that God wants us to blossom and bloom in our life. We're grateful. Let us continue to praise God. People of God, you who have been called to serve, with all the gifts you've been given, go in His power, go in His love, go in His mercy, and in all your going, go in peace. Amen.